Thank you, Jared and team, for leading us. Can we give them a hand for leading us in worship this morning? God bless you all. That's our privilege to be able to gather together and sing praises to God. It is it's what we were created to do, to know Him and to praise Him and to serve Him. Well, we're continuing in our series on character building, and as I was thinking about this this episode that we're dealing with this morning on Noah, I called it Never Again. Would you please say never again? And once again, never again. You know, every time that you see a rainbow, and I love this picture of this particular rainbow that I've run across. Has anybody ever seen like a double rainbow like that? And you know, isn't it interesting that when you know, if you're a believer in Christ, and if you see the rainbow, and if you happen to have your smartphone on you, isn't it true that oftentimes you'll kind of stop, you'll take that out, and you'll take a picture? And especially if that's kind of over something, you know, if that's over an area. I know there have been times where there's been a rainbow over the church here, and I've kind of taken a picture of that, and I've said, Lord, we want your promises to be ours. But I like this picture that I found on the web, because it reminded me of God's promise, never again. God said, never again will I send a flood water to destroy every living thing on the earth. And every time that I see that rainbow, I think of the assignment that God has given to us. And I kind of like this double picture, because as I look at the foreground, it reminds me of the harvest. And this is why Christ hasn't returned yet, because there's a great eternal harvest of souls that God is calling for us, the body of Christ, to pray in and to bring in. And so as we look at these different characters throughout the summer, what I would like for us to do is to be able to draw those parallels that touch our lives and that move us forward as Christ followers. And so we're going to begin looking at this really remarkable story that we find in the Bible. And you can follow along in your inserts. The first thing that I want to point out is this: Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We're actually going to close our morning teaching time today by singing that hymn, Amazing Grace. And the grace of God as God's children should always, always amaze us. It doesn't matter how long that we've known Him, we should always be amazed by the love and the grace and the mercy of God. The Bible says, but Noah found favor. Would you please say favor? He found favor with the Lord. And it's important that when we look at the life of Noah, that we understand that it was God's grace that found him. Now Noah did think about God, and we'll see that, but Noah wasn't perfect. In fact, as you look at the Bible, which is God's life story of humanity from creation until the second coming of Christ and through Revelation, as you look at the Bible, you're going to discover that nobody was perfect except for Jesus. And that's why he came, because of what we talked about last week, because of that fallen man, and we'll talk about that a little bit today, how that affected even Noah's story. And so Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That word favor is defined as an act of grace. And what grace is it's undeserved favor. And so in our lives as followers of Christ, in our lives as children of God, we need to understand that just as Noah did, we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, if we had time today, for each one of you that have received this gift of God in Jesus Christ, we could take the next hours and I could ask you, tell me when it was that you received Jesus Christ. Tell me when it was that you found the grace of God, and you'd be able to tell me exactly when that happened. You'd be able to tell me the time and the place. You'd be able to remember the circumstances, because it's not simply a mental belief, but it's a real relationship with God. Noah found favor. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you'd be able to recount that time. I'm thinking of it in my life. I was 18. Now, I went to church long before that. I went to church every Sunday with my family. But it wasn't until that I was 18 that I found the grace of God. I can tell you exactly where and when that happened, as you can as a child of God. Because the moment that you find God's grace, something happens. Jesus goes from your head to your heart. The Bible says that you're born of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit comes and He takes up residence within you. The Bible also says that you receive the mind of Christ. So then spiritual things make sense to you. And so today, as we talk about Noah and we talk about never again, the Holy Spirit is going to be the active teacher as the preacher's preaching, the Holy Spirit will be the active teacher. He'll be bearing witness with your spirit and bearing witness with your minds the things that God wants you to know today. But I guess what I want to strive, and I'm parking here for a minute, is nobody's perfect. And not even Noah was perfect. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's what we need to really understand. You know, if you're ever wondering, what would it be like if God just kind of stepped back? What would it be like if God just kind of let man kind of do their thing? Well, actually, this is a really great lesson of what it's like. Because you know what happened from that time of Adam's fall, when Adam and Eve were banished from the garden, and then when the heart of humanity began to live on its own? The earth was then consumed by the fallen nature of Adam. The sinful nature of man just consumed the entire earth by the fallen nature of Adam. And you remember what a beautiful love story it was of God creating Adam and Eve and walking and talking with them in the garden. And now here's where things are, just a number of generations later. It says, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Now, for those of us sitting here today, if we think about somebody thinking consistent, total evil thoughts, we might think of bank robbers or rapists or murderers. But do you know what it is to think consistently and totally evil? It's just to think about yourself. It's just not to think about God. It's to be able to walk out on a star-filled night and not think of God. It's to be able to get up and go to work and work with the strength that God has given you and not think of God. It's to be able to enjoy the fruit of your labor and not think of God. And what had happened is the earth had become so consumed by the not think of God nature that the Lord saw the extent of this wickedness. And so God then would send a flood of judgment over the earth. And as I was preparing this week, you know, I had a horrible picture of this. As I think, this is not a fable. You know, some people that don't believe the Bible, they say that these are myths. This is not a myth. This is what God did. And I thought of this horrible truth that God would send a flood of judgment over the earth. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Now, I'd like to appeal to moms and dads. How many moms and dads do we have here? I know that God's the author of life and God's the one that gives us children. But God created and sustained all of life through all of these generations, and now God comes to this point. This creation that I have created, I'm wiping from the face of the earth. And isn't it interesting that it not only involves human beings, but it involves animals? It involves the animals. All of the animals are going to die. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that all of creation is crying out to God for the coming of Christ. All of creation is crying out to God for that day of redemption. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing. And isn't this a sad progression now? From where God created in Adam and breathed into Adam and said, let us create man in our image, and created Adam and Eve and said, here, enjoy this. I've created this for you. I'm sorry I've ever made them. I'm sorry that I've ever made them. And I thought of this flood of judgment that was coming over the earth, and it's just really a picture of how much I need God's grace. It's a picture of how much I today need to know the grace of God in my life, so that everything I think and everything I do and whatever I may achieve for the glory of God is a reflection of his grace. That I never just think of myself. That I never just pat myself on the back and say, way to go, Doug. But that I'd understand that just as Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, that I have found grace by his unmerited favor. Nothing that I could have ever done to earn this. And that you, as a daughter of God and a son of God, would understand that you're a recipient of God's grace. And I love how someone has defined God's grace. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. And as Jared was leading us and we were singing about the cross today and about the precious blood of Jesus, you know, Jesus, when he hung there on the cross and he looked down at those who spat upon him and those who whipped him and those who mocked him and those who taunted him and those who said, come on down off that cross if you're really the Son of God. Show us another sign and then we'll believe in you. Do something for us. You know, Jesus looked at them, but he looked at me today in my moments of not thinking of God. and he looked at you in your moments of thinking that somehow you've measured this up by yourself. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God said, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race. Now check this out. Even though everything they think or imagine is bent from evil from childhood. Do you see it? You see, God knows what we're made of, friends. Even though everything that they think of or imagine is bent toward evil, even though they don't think of me, even though they don't acknowledge me, even though they don't serve me, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race. I will never again destroy all living things. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And here's what we need to understand. Oh, friend, if you're here this morning and you've not received Jesus Christ, if you're here and you've not received this love of God, please understand this. Everyone, everywhere needs to find God's favor in Jesus. You know, it's not just about Edmonton or Alberta or Canada. It's not just about North America. But everyone, everywhere on the globe needs to find favor in Jesus. That's why we support missions. That's why we believe in missions. That's why when a woman or a man says, you know, God has called me and to a place they don't know, where they don't know anyone, they don't know the language, but God has called me to this place. That's why when families and couples go out onto the mission field, that we as a church say, yes, we are standing behind you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to give, because everyone, everywhere needs to find God's favor in Jesus. God said, I know, even I won't destroy the earth by flood, even though they're sinful from childhood. Look at what David said about the nature of our sin. I was born a sinner, even from the moment of conception. And so we need to know that we need to grow this grace of God in our lives and share this grace of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, what happens when somebody finds grace in the eyes of God is exactly what happened to Noah. Noah walked every day with God. Somebody that's found God's grace, somebody that really has a living experience of grace, this is how you describe them. They walk every day with God. Noah walked daily with the Lord. Now, Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth. Now, you see why it parked on grace? Some people would say, well, he was perfect. No, he wasn't perfect. He was a man that walked daily with God. The only blameless person, he was the only one that thought about God. He was the only one that gave glory, the only one on all of the earth at the time. And here's how somebody who receives God's grace lives. He walked in close fellowship with God. Isn't it true? I can tell you from the moment I received the grace of God, never again have I trusted in my own good works to get me to heaven. From the moment that I received the grace of God, never again did I hope, oh, I hope I can do something to earn God's favor. You know why? Because from that very moment, all of my sins were forgiven. All of my sins were washed away, and God called me his child. God welcomed me as his son. God welcomed you as his daughter. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And you know what children of God are like? They're just like Noah. We don't wake up every day wondering how we should sin. We wake up every day wondering, how can I please God today? I don't walk around wondering, how am I gonna glorify my flesh in the evening? I walk around in the morning and in the evening and in the night wondering, how am I gonna glorify God? It's because of what's happened in my life. It's what's happened in the life of those of us who've received the grace of God. This is a good description. Noah walked daily with God. Now, here's what I've discovered about walking daily with God. Our Father loves it when we live for his pleasure. Our Father just absolutely loves it when we live for his pleasure. Now, it said at this time, as the sinful nature of man who was created in the image of God unfolded, that Noah was the only one on the earth. But if you look in the genealogy there, from the time of Adam to the time of Noah, there was somebody else. And his name was Enoch. Enoch lived 365 years. How many think 365 is pretty old? Well, it wasn't back then. They were still living hundreds and hundreds of years. In fact, it was only around this time, it was only about this time in God's creation that God said around the time of Noah that man's years will be about 120. But 365 was like, that was like in the prime of life, hallelujah. But here's the description of Enoch. Now, I don't know at Enoch's time, around this time in the genealogy of the unfolding from creation to Enoch, I don't know how many men and women were calling on the Lord. But I know this, that Enoch walked every day with God. That's his description, the same as Noah. Enoch lived 365 years with God, walking in close fellowship with God. The Father loves it when we live for his pleasure. How many of you have children? Put up your hands. You've got a son or a daughter. How many want to? Someday. Now, how many of you parents, how does it make you feel when your children do the wrong things? How does it make you feel when they just do something, you know, they're your kids and they just do something really wrong? Let's not think about that too long. Let's turn the page. Because that happens, doesn't it? Our Father loves it when we live for his pleasure. Hey, mom and dad, how does it make you feel when you're not even near your kids? You're not even near them, but you see them from afar and they do something really great. I mean, you didn't ask them to do it. They just do it. They just do something really good. How about when you're not even with them? Like, you're not even with your children, but your children go away. Maybe, I think you went away, Pastor Kyle, didn't you, this Saturday to the Calgary Zoo, right? How about if you go on a trip like that, you know, and all of a sudden you're not even there, and somebody comes to you and say, I got to tell you something. Your son just did this and was just wonderful. And how does that make you feel as parents? I'll tell you something. God loves it when we live for his pleasure. He feels the same way about you. When you walk with him every day, when you just do, not because somebody's telling you, but you're just doing what needs to be done because God's placed it on your heart. You know, I think what God does, he takes his super iPhone or whatever he has up there, and he says, angels, come over here. Come over here. Look at my daughter. Look at my daughter. And I think what happened with Enoch is God had filled up, if that's possible, his super iPhone. And God just said, I just love this guy. Come up here. Look what happened. Then one day Enoch disappeared because God took him. He didn't even die. I mean, Enoch just was living for God, and God said, son, come up here, and he just took him up to heaven. Our Father loves it when we live for his pleasure. And you know what I've discovered? That's when I love life the best too, as a child of God. I love life the best when I'm living for God. I love life the best when God's in my heart and I'm doing what God wants me to do as best as I know how. Our Father loves it when we live for his pleasure, and I love it the best as well. And I'll tell you something, our Father longs to provide for us with every good thing. And it's when you're living in that place of surrender, it's when you're living in that place of grace, it's when you're living in that place as best of you, as you know how, of obedience, that Jesus Christ can provide you with life and life more abundantly. Let me tell you something about your life, child of God. God's watching you. He's not watching you to slam you. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed. Would you please say fully committed? Circle that in your notes. Now, all of us know what it's like not to be fully committed. You know, like, all of us know what it's like to pray the prayer and say, yeah, Jesus, come into my heart, save me from my sins, hallelujah. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm going to do my own thing on the way. But God doesn't want us to live like that. God wants us to live with hearts that are striving always to be fully committed to him. You see, because God's looking at you. God's looking, hey, congratulations, you made it to church on Sunday. Give yourself a hand this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, this is good. Give yourself a hand. You made it. You could have slept in, enjoyed coffee, and Lord knows if you like golf, you could have watched the British Open live. I may peek at that this afternoon. But God is looking at you. God is watching you from the moment that you wake up. He's watching you every day, and he's looking for you. And I'll tell you what, he's looking at men and women who will stand in the gap. He's looking at men and women who will believe God for great things. He's looking at people who believe that God is alive and God is on the move. The Lord is looking to you. Why? He's looking to you to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And when you endeavor by the grace of God to be fully committed to God, nobody needs to tell you that you're God's child. God strengthens you. God lifts you. God builds you up, even coming here today. As you hear from the preaching of the Word of God, and as the Holy Spirit confirms in your heart what he's calling you to do, you will be strengthened, and your Father longs to provide you with every good thing. Now, Noah, the man who found grace with God, this was the outflow of his life. He walked every day with God. And do you know what the whole story of the Old Testament tells us? You know what the whole story of the Bible tells us? The whole thing, all signs point to Jesus Christ as our Savior. All signs point to the fact that we need to be open before Him. We need to allow our lives to be an open book to Him. We need to let God just come in and rule and reign in our hearts and lives as we were created. We need not to try to do it on our own. There was a ruler. He was very successful. He was rich. He was religious. He was young. And he, in the eyes of the people of the community, they thought, well, this is the guy that's got it all together. And one day as Jesus was teaching, this rich young ruler came up and he threw himself down in front of Jesus and he said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus gives an interesting reply, because truly, he could have been called. He's the only one who could have been called good teacher. But Jesus knew this man's heart. He said, "Why do you call me good? Only God is truly good." And then they began to dialogue, because this man is saying, "What can I do? What can I do to get to heaven?" Well, the truth is, you can't do anything. And he said, "Well, you know the commandments. What are those?" "Well, love the Lord and, you know, love others." And this guy said, "Well, I've done all that, Jesus. I've done the whole thing." But you see, Jesus knows the hearts, doesn't he, of people. And do you remember the story? He said, "Oh, there's just one thing." I mean, there was way more than one. But there's one thing. "There's one thing you have not done." And Jesus gives him this invitation. Do you remember the story? He said, "You go and do what?" You go sell everything you have, because he was a very rich man. You see, and in those days, the Old Testament and the covenants tied riches to God's favor. He was a religious man, and so he was rich, he was young, he was religious, he was successful. Everybody thought, well, he has the favor of God, right? But he said, "What can I do to get to heaven?" "One thing, go sell everything you have and give your money to the..." "Oh, why should I do that? They don't do anything. I work hard for my money." Listen, Christian. "Then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then you'll have treasure in heaven." All signs point to Jesus as our Savior. Listen, as those who've received the grace of God, we want to be in that place of walking every day with God and saying, "God, search my heart. God, examine my heart. Lord, don't let me boast. If I'm going to boast about anything, let me boast about you. Don't let me boast about the things that I may have done for you." And Jesus, I believe this was an invitation. I believe this man could have come. But the Bible says the man went away sad because he had many, many riches. Well, you know what? He was impoverished. He was broke. So Noah found grace with the eyes of the Lord. Noah walked every day with God. And what is somebody who's found grace in God's eyes, and what happens to somebody who walks every day with God? Well, I'll tell you what happens. Noah was given an assignment from God. Noah was given an assignment. And what an assignment. I mean, this was an assignment that made no sense. I don't think Noah lived close to water at all. And God said, "Build a boat." And not just a boat. It was like the Titanic. And Noah wasn't even a boat. In fact, nobody was a boat builder. Nobody around was building boats like this. And so God, you can read it in the Bible, God tells him how long the boat is. He says it's supposed to be 3 stories tall. It's like, you want to see the Calgary Zoo? It's the Calgary Zoo built on wood. Build it 3 levels. Build pens for all the animals, like all the animals in the world. Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. And I'll tell you something, this took Noah a long time. And you know what Noah did? He told the people. It says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He warned the people. God's coming and he's going to send a flood. And people, a flood? What is a flood? It's going to rain. How is it going to rain that much? There's going to be a flood like that? And I can see this picture, and you see it in this little picture here, of Noah. And he's been building for a while here. And they're just coming and making fun of this guy. This guy's lost his marbles. He's crazy. Do you know what he says is going to happen to us? You know what happens to people who receive the grace of God? People who walk every day with God? They're given an assignment from God. Can I tell you something, child of God? You've been given an assignment from God. And it doesn't really matter if it doesn't make sense to a whole lot of other people. Let me just say this. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. And let me tell you what God wants for you and for me. God desires that His Spirit would flow through your family line. God desires that His Spirit would flow through your family line. It did not say that God searched the whole earth and Noah was righteous, his wife was righteous, their in-laws were righteous, the kids were right. It doesn't say that. It just said only Noah was righteous. And yet, this is what God said. But I will confirm my covenant with you, Noah. So you enter the boat. But then he says, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. There's no such thing as grandchildren in the kingdom of God. Do you know what the Bible says about God? It says that God doesn't want anyone not to be saved. God wants the whole world to be saved, but the whole world isn't going to be saved. God is not desiring that anybody should perish. And I can guarantee you, if you're a Christian mother or a Christian father, or if you're a Christian wife or a Christian husband, and your mate is not yet a Christian, you want them to be saved. But they don't get saved through you. There are no grandchildren. Your kids don't get saved through you. But God said, bring your wife, bring your sons, and bring their wives. It's kind of like the declaration that Joshua made. Do you remember in the Old Testament? He said, listen, I don't know what God you want to serve. Maybe you want to serve the gods down here, the many gods that people are serving. Maybe you want to serve the Baals, but let me tell you what I desire. As for me and my household, we will serve the... Now, that doesn't mean, understand, there's no way for Joshua to make his family serve the Lord. He can bring them up. I like the promise in Acts 16:31 of the Philippian jailer. The Philippian jailer who said, what do I need to do to be saved when that great miracle took place in the prison? And it said, well, what you need to do is you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household. And so, but there's no way that just a mom can make their son or daughter a Christian. We can't. It's a choice, right? And the Philippian jailer was saved. His household was saved. Their children, they were all saved. They chose to follow Christ. I love the promise in Acts chapter 2, 38 and 39. On the day of Pentecost, when they come out of the upper room and they come down into the courtyard, and Peter preaches that wonderful sermon, and thousands of people come to know Christ. It says, this promise is for you and your children and your children's children, for all that the Lord our God will call. Now, if you're here this morning and you have an unsaved wife, or you have a husband who doesn't know the Lord yet, or maybe you have children who they know the way, but they're not in it. I mean, they're in the way the wrong way, you know what I mean? They don't know Jesus. They're not living for Jesus. If you have children or grandchildren that aren't living for the Lord yet, I love the declaration that's made in Proverbs. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are older, they will not depart far from it. Let me tell you something. I knew in my life, long before I was 18, that I needed to be born again. But I'm so glad I had a mom who continued to pray for me until, by God's grace, I heard His voice. And can I encourage you, moms, husbands, wives, parents, keep praying for your mates, your children, your grandchildren, because God desires His Spirit to flow through your family line. If you believe it, say amen. It's true. It's true, friends. That's part of our assignment that we trust the Lord for. But concerning your specific assignment, God's life assignment for you is very, very specific. God has a very specific life assignment for you to walk in every day. In fact, God has the most amazing plan for your life. God has the best plan. God breathed life into you for this plan. God gifted you for this plan. God created you for this plan so that you can walk with him fulfilling this every day. Now, here's how specific it was with Noah. Bring a pair. I want you to think about this. He's already built the Titanic, which is a miracle in itself. But is this achievable without God? Hey, Noah, bring a pair of every kind of animal that's on the earth, a male and a female, into the boat with you. And by the way, Noah, once every animal, male and female, that's come onto that boat with you, keep them alive, Noah. Can Noah do that? I mean, that's God stuff. Keep them alive during the flood. God's plan for your life and mine is described in a couple of places in Scripture very succinctly. One of them is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. There it says this, "You are saved by grace through faith, not by works, but you are saved to work." And then it says this in verse 10, "For you are God's masterpiece. God has created you in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he's prepared for you in advance." Listen, if you can wrap your head around this, before you were ever born, God called your name. Before you were ever born, God knew that you would be here. And whether you're 15, 25, or 95, God's plan for you today is very, very specific. And there's no greater way for you to live than to strive to live for God's plan. Praise God. Noah received God's grace. He walked every day with God. He was given an assignment. But the most important thing about people of God is this. Noah received a gift from God. And Christian, you've received the greatest gift that you could ever receive from God. It's interesting that when the ark came to rest, and like, what a job. I mean, he built this ark over these number of years. He took every animal into the ark. Not one animal died. And you know, there he was with him and his family, and God knows what they were doing for all of those 40 days and 40 nights, and then the time that it took for the floodwaters to recede. But it's interesting that at the end of it all, that Noah didn't run off the ark and say, "Hey, come on, high five, well done, we did it, we did it." But you know what Noah did? Noah built an altar to the Lord. Noah was an altar builder. Listen, Christian, whatever it is that God does through your life, don't say, "I did it. Hey, gang, we did it. We pulled it together. Yeah, aren't we great?" Rather, could we build an altar to the Lord and say, "Isn't God great? Isn't God amazing? Isn't our God the best? There's no," I'll tell you what Noah said in building this altar. "There's no way I could have done this, Lord, without you." Can I tell you something about the plan that God has for your life? There's no way you can do it without God. But if you become an altar builder, God will move through you in ways that will absolutely amaze you. Noah built an altar to the Lord, and there he sacrificed as burnt offerings the animals and birds that had been approved for that very purpose. Do you know what happens when you're an altar builder? Do you know what happens when you take your life and when you, as best as you know how, try to live it for the glory of God and try to bring glory and honor to Jesus? God's pleased. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice. "Oh, take my life, Lord. Take my life and let it be a pleasing sacrifice before." You see, the gift that Noah received was life. The blessing that Noah received was life. God blessed them again, just like he blessed Adam and Eve in the beginning. Noah received a wonderful gift from God. And because God was pleased with Noah, God confirmed his covenant not only with Noah, but his covenant with us. Every time you see the rainbow, friends, I want you to think about the grace of God. Every time you see the rainbow, I want you to think about the gift of walking with God every day. I want you to think about the assignment that God has given to you. "When I send the clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you." Never again, would you please say never again? Once again, never again. Once again, never again. Every time you see the rainbow, I want you to think never again. Just think of the grace of God, because you know what's going to happen? There's a time that's coming, friends, when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. when this plan of God's great salvation in Jesus Christ consummates, then God will turn the page on the next page of his agenda. Never again will floodwaters destroy all life on the earth. Noah received the gift of God. The gift was life and the blessing of God. Never again is God going to destroy all life on the earth with a flood. But here's what's true, Christian. And if you haven't received God's gift of salvation, listen. Judgment is coming for those who reject Jesus Christ. For those who live on their own. For those who think that what they've accomplished has come by the work of their own hands. For those who say, high five, haven't we done well, without giving a thought to the God who keeps their heart beating and their lungs breathing. Judgment is coming for those who reject Jesus Christ. In Matthew 24, there are some signs there of what's it going to be like, Jesus, when you come back again. And Jesus gives a number of signs of the times. And surely, friends, we're living in the last days. Surely we're living in that time when God's looking upon the hearts of humanity and he sees that everything that they're imagining is only evil all of the time. Here's a sign, Jesus said. Do you know what happened? People didn't realize, even though Noah told them, even though they came and they saw the boat being built, even though God is sending a flood, glorify God. God is sending a flood. Would you give God some consideration? They made fun of him and they taunted him just like they made fun of Jesus and just like they taunted Jesus on the cross. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and took them away. And it's a horrifying thing, friends. I'll tell you, as the church, we look forward to the coming of Christ, but it's a horrifying thing as well. I think of that picture of the flood. And I even think of the pain of the Father who created the earth and the heavens and all of the creatures and destroyed them all. And I see the floodwaters coming, and do you know what happened, I believe, when the floodwaters rose? I believe the neighbor said, let's go to Noah's place. There's a boat. There's a boat there. But God had closed the door. God had sealed the door. And as those floodwaters rise, I can see people grabbing whatever they can grab, trying to hold on and pounding on the door of the ark. Judgment is coming for those who reject Jesus Christ. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them away. And that's going to happen again. That's the way it's going to be when the Son of Man comes. Oh, Christians, this gift of life that God has given to us in Jesus Christ must take us to the place where, as best as we know how, we must be fully committed to the good news of the message of the Great Commission. We must order our hearts and order our lives and order our time and our talent and our treasure toward the assignment that Jesus has given to us. He said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go and you make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. Do you know why we have a meeting here on Sunday night? It's not because we want to, I mean, we're going to have some nice treats tonight, aren't we? Someone's making homemade cake for us tonight, aren't they? If you come tonight to the mix, I'm telling you, there's somebody in the congregation, they're making homemade cake for us as a snack. And we bless them for that. Can we give them a hand? Thank you, because I think they're here. Thank you for doing that. But listen, we don't come for the crumpets. They're not crumpets. You know, in the Bible, they sat together, they ate together, they talked together. And last week, we had a great start. Do you know why we're having this series on life-changing prayer? Because it's a part of what I'm supposed to do. It's a part of what we're supposed to do as a church. Listen, if you come to church twice a month and hear the preacher preach, I can promise you, you're not going to learn all of the commands that God has for your life. We have an evening time where we come together on this day called the Lord's Day, where Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we're celebrating that. Why? So that we can teach these new disciples to obey, would you please say obey, all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So if you're free tonight in the mix at 6, just come. Let's overflow this place. Let's take our summer nights, I almost want to pray that God would send the rain. I shouldn't do that. It's so nice out tonight, right? It's so nice. Let's, in spite of the nice weather, if you're free, why don't you come? Why don't you come and put your heart before the Word of God? Why don't you come and let the Holy Spirit build you up? Why don't you come and sit with the people of God and talk about the things of God? I'll tell you, if you do, you'll be all the better for it. We must be committed to this good news message that Jesus Christ has given to us. Would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer? Never again. Oh, never again, Lord. Lord, we're so glad that you made this covenant with Noah. And we're so glad, each and every one of us here that have received the gift of God that is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. We're so glad today that we've received the grace of God. And can I speak to you this morning if you're here and you know about Jesus? You know about Jesus, but you've never received God's gift of salvation. Can I tell you who the church is for? The church is for sinners like me. Sinners like me who came to a place where they understood that Jesus Christ came to give them new life. And can I encourage you today? If you're here and you've never received the gift of God that is offered to you in Jesus Christ, all you need to do is open your heart and say, God, I need you. Jesus, would you please come into my life? Lord, would you save me? I want to serve you. I don't want to go through life saying, I did it, well done. I don't want to go through life any longer without paying you the glory and honor that is due your name. And so, Jesus, I realize I can't do that without you. So come into my life, change my heart. I promise you, friend, if you pray that prayer, God is no respecter of persons. He said, as many people that come to me, I will bring them in. Your life will never be the same because it's not a religion. It's a living relationship with the living God. Thank you, Lord, that we've found grace in the eyes of God. What are people of grace like? Well, people of grace wake up every day wanting to walk with God. We don't wake up wanting to gratify the flesh. We wake up wanting to glorify the Spirit and bring glory to Jesus. So thank you, Lord, that you've enabled us to walk every day with God. And what are people of the grace of God who walk every day like? What happens to them? They're given a specific assignment. Lord, I want to thank you that the assignment for every person in this house this morning is as different as the fingerprints that you've gifted to us. I just ask you, Lord, that you draw us into that place of just completing the good work that you've called us to do. Because we are a people of grace. We're people who walk daily with God. We're people who've been given an assignment. But most importantly, Lord, we've received this gift of eternal life. And I ask that you'd help us, Lord, to more and more reflect that more and more people would find Jesus. I pray it in your name, and everyone said,